Darkcast Network. The light shines brightest on our indie podcasts.
Welcome to another episode of the Freaky as Fuck podcast. I'm your host, Sarai, and today I'm coming at you with the murder of Aaron Itura. Aaron Itura was born on December 28, 1976 in Oregon, and was the oldest of five children. He was known for always looking after his younger siblings, and was kind, he was gentle, the type of person to literally give you the shirt off his back. His mother, Janice Itura, is quoted saying, "He was the protector. He watched out for everybody." When he was a young teenager, Aaron went through a bit of a rebellious phase. He began hanging out with the wrong crowd and started affiliating with a gang. But after a few years, he started to realize that that wasn't the life that he wanted. He cleaned up his act and actually became an advocate against gang activity and violence within his community. In the evening of October 2nd, 1994, Janice recalls seeing Aaron and his girlfriend head off to his room to go to bed. She doesn't see them for the rest of the night until 1:30 a.m. October 3rd. Janice is startled by screaming coming from Aaron's room and finds out that it's his girlfriend. When she enters the room, Janice sees Aaron bleeding from a gash on his head. 911 is called immediately, and when paramedics show up, they find Aaron to be in critical condition, but still breathing. He's rushed to the hospital, where it's determined that Aaron had been shot in the head with a .38 caliber handgun. Scans were showing no signs of brain activity on Aaron, and after staying the night in the hospital, Janice makes a decision that no mother should ever have to make, and he's taken off life support. His cause of death was a single gunshot wound to the back of his head. Aaron was just 2 months away from turning 18 years old. Aaron's girlfriend, who had been sleeping right next to him when he was shot, was their most obvious immediate suspect. However, after testing negative for gunpowder residue, she was ultimately cleared. She was able to recall being woken up by the gunshot and seeing two males who had their faces hidden by bandanas in their room. Police began their investigation by looking into Aaron's anti-gang activism community. This is when they discovered that he had been working with a well-known local activist by the name of Mary Thompson. Mary Thompson was an active member within the community. She had a son of her own who she said was introduced to gang activity at the young age of 13 years old. This is what urged her to begin speaking out against gang activity, and she was very successful in her role as an activist within their community. Her home had become a hub for teenagers who were trying to get away from the gang life. Several of them would simply just visit Thompson's house to hang out. They referred to her as moms. Aaron Itura was one of those teenagers. Thompson had actually recruited Aaron to watch over her son, Beau, who was 16 years old during this time, to make sure that he didn't get into any trouble. She claimed that she was trying to steer him away from continuing on this delinquent path he had been on for most of his life. And of course, with Aaron being the protector, he was more than happy to help. Beau had just recently been released from a juvenile prison when he was introduced to Aaron. He had been taken into custody for selling guns out of an ice cream parlor. Mary Thompson is quoted telling the Register Guard newspaper, quote, "I try to fight back against gangs, but I also try to understand the gang issues. They're people too, and they're doing this for a reason. I figure, if I can get close to the source, I'll be able to understand it a little bit better." On September 13th, 1994, Beau and Aaron were leaving a convenience store when they encounter a group of teens that had some bad blood with Beau. A fight ensues, and Beau pulls out a knife and cuts one of the boys, landing him and Aaron in police custody. When questioned, Aaron tells authorities that Bo had asked him to back him up. When he noticed that Bo had had a knife, he grabbed it away from him and returned it to him once the altercation was over. Aaron had made the decision to testify against Bo in court, which could potentially land him a 4-year sentence. Bo was sent to a juvenile detention center pending a trial on the assault charge. Janice Itura recalls receiving an angry telephone call from Thompson where she yelled at her, quote,
"He promised me he would take care of him."
As the investigation continued, investigators were able to get the names of 2 teenage males who were heard bragging about committing the murder of Aaron Itura. James Elstad and Joseph Brown were also known to spend a lot of time at Thompson's home. And wouldn't you know it, just before police were able to conduct an interview with Elstad and Brown, Thompson reaches out to investigators to tell them that the morning after Aaron's murder, the 2 boys had come to her house to seek refuge. When asked why she didn't report this to police before, Thompson stated that it was because she didn't believe them. During their interviews, both Elstad and Brown claimed that they had nothing to do with the shooting, but after hours of interrogation, they finally confess. On the night of October 3rd, 17-year-old Elstad and 18-year-old Brown sneak into the Itura home, making their way through the garage and laundry room into Aaron's room, where he lay asleep. Brown was told to be on the lookout while Elstad took the .38 revolver handgun and fired 1 shot into Aaron's head. The 2 claimed that the reason behind the shooting was because they were angry with Aaron for agreeing to testify against Bo in court. Police were able to recover the revolver used in the shooting in the Willamette River. Joseph Brown pled guilty to murder and was sentenced to 10 years. James Elstad also pled guilty and was sentenced to 16 years. But there's one more thing that investigators want to look into before the case is officially shut.
Hi there, nerdlings. I'm Ash.
And I'm Nat. We're the host of Primetime Nerds, a podcast that focuses on lesser-known investigations, unsolved cases, serial killers, and small-town crimes. Join us as we pick up our flashlights and begin our search for answers as we venture down those dark true crime paths together.
Join us every Sunday as we explore the nature of these often heinous and heartbreaking cases. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. You can visit our website at crimetimenerds.com or follow our social media platforms. Don't forget to trust your gut, and we hope you join us each and every week.
During Elstad and Brown's interrogation, police are able to learn that there was another motive behind the shooting. Elstad mentions that, quote, "Mom said that she'd really, really love to see Itura dead, and we took that upon ourselves, basically." Neither Elstad or Brown outright say that Thompson asked them to kill Aaron. I guess it was just kind of implied. But now, police are questioning the character of Mary Thompson. They do some digging into her background and quickly realize that she is not at all who she claims to be. Investigators try to get some of the local teenagers that are close with Thompson to come in for interviews to gather more information. However, none are willing to talk, and police eventually run out of ideas. And that's where The Wire comes in. Investigators are confident that Thompson has some kind of involvement in the murder of Aaron Itura, and so the decision is made to tap the phones located in her home. And within the first day, it had become apparent that Thompson was much more influential than she was leading others to believe. The wiretap was able to produce a mass amount of evidence of Thompson being involved in criminal activity. Over 1,800 calls were made to and from Thompson's home over the course of a month. There's even evidence of Thompson using Artura's murder as a threat. In a conversation with another teenage boy, Thompson allegedly said, quote,
"Get a grip. I ain't come over there and screamed at you, have I? Aaron got screamed at before, you know. He got whacked, man. He knew how I felt."
On February 10th, 1995, Mary Thompson was arrested for aggravated murder. She was thrown into Lane County Jail for 16 months until her trial began in June 1996. After 6 weeks, a jury convicted Thompson of aggravated murder, and she was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. In April of 2000, the Oregon Court of Appeals overturned the conviction due to the fact that the juvenile court proceeding that Erin was to testify at was not considered a criminal proceeding, since it was to be held in juvenile court. In order for a murder to be considered aggravated, it has to be in relation to the, quote, performance of the victim's official duties in the justice system as a juror or witness in a criminal court proceeding. In December of that same year, she was resentenced to murder rather than aggravated murder and was given 25 years in prison. After serving 23 of those years, Thompson was released in the summer of 2019. And that is the murder of Erin Itura. If you enjoyed this episode, I hope that you will leave us a stellar 5-star review or rating wherever it is that you're listening to this episode right now. And if you want to reach out to me on socials, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at FreakyAFPod, that's FreakyAFPod. Or you can shoot us an email at FreakyAFPodcast@gmail.com. If you have the means to support us financially, feel free to donate to our Ko-fi, which will be linked in the show notes. I hope that I will see you all here again next week and that you have a wonderful week. Bye!
This is Paige, host of Reverie True Crime. As you can imagine, my tastes are a bit on the dark side. So when I shop for unique novelties and gifts, I always keep an eye out for something a little out of the ordinary. That's why I shop at Batwings and Butterflies. Batwings and Butterflies is an independent creator-owned and operated boutique of handmade knit creations that run the gamut from the wild side to the dark side. Here you'll find knit toys and stuffies like baby Baphomets and giant tarantulas, household knits like blankets, doilies, and water pipe cozies, and so much more. Every item is an original work of art handmade with love by a talented artisan. Order your one-of-a-kind creation today. You can also make a special request and Bria, the creator and owner of Batwings and Butterflies, will make pretty much whatever you want. Order your one-of-a-kind creations today. Find Batwings and Butterflies on Instagram at Batwings and Butterflies or shop at batwingsandbutterflies.bigcartel.com. That's BATWINGSANDBUTTERFLIES.BIGCARTEL.com. My favorite products that she makes are these huge knit stuffies that are perfect to snuggle and cuddle while listening to Reverie True Crime or any of the shows on the Darkcast Network.